You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini. Educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with the Deal Farm Podcast. On today's Best Deal Ever episode, I've got Quincy Long. Quincy, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Ken. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks so much for being on the show. So Quincy is out of Houston, Texas, and works with Quest, who is a self-directed IRA custodian. Maybe you could tell us a little bit real quickly about Quest and what you guys do for folks.
Yeah, basically what we do is we hold alternative assets in IRAs. So, for example, if you wanted to buy real estate or do a promissory note out of your IRA or buy into private company stock of some sort or membership interest, that's basically what we do is we hold those alternative assets in people's IRAs.
Gotcha. Which, you know, for us, for most investors, there's an opportunity to either do it yourself or work with somebody else that's got a self-directed account. I know in our business, most of our private lenders that lend to us are doing so through their self-directed IRAs. So it's a huge component in our business. And I actually personally have a self-directed 401k that I lend out of as well. I mean, it's invaluable instrument in terms of investing. And so maybe tell us a little bit about, you know, what is a self-directed IRA and what types of accounts do you typically work with?
Well, basically, a self-directed IRA is just what we said. It's an IRA in which the normal limits that are imposed by more traditional brokerage-style IRAs that you can only buy stocks, bonds, mutual funds, or annuities are removed, and you can buy anything that the IRS doesn't prevent you from buying. So there's very few restrictions contained in the Internal Revenue Code as to what you cannot do with an IRA, and it's basically limited to collectibles and life insurance contracts. So anything but life insurance contracts or collectibles, if you can title it, you can buy it in a self-directed IRA, but you got to have a custodian that is willing to hold those alternative assets and do the reporting necessary. So that's what a self-directed IRA is. As far as accounts that can be self-directed, there are basically seven of them. That would be the traditional IRA. Everybody's familiar with that one. The Roth IRA that everybody wants or should want, the SEP IRA, which is an employer plan, the Simple IRA is another employer plan, and the individual 401k, just like you have, as well as you can self-direct, believe it or not, a Coverdell Education Savings Account to save tax-free for the kids' education, and a Health Savings Account, which is probably the best account of all, believe it or not.
Really?
But those are some of the things we do.
Interesting. And so, by and large, most of your investors are using the self-directed accounts to invest in what? What are you seeing as maybe the most popular?
Well, I think a large portion of what investments are made are related in some way to real estate. As you already know, you can buy real estate itself in the IRA. You can make promissory notes that are secured by real estate. And that's probably one of the more popular ones. But we see a lot of private placements, so that is LLCs or limited partnerships or trusts or small C corporation stock, things that you can't buy on the open market. And my supposition is that many of those private placements are investing in real estate in some way.
Gotcha. Right. Absolutely. What are you seeing as some of the pitfalls? I mean, obviously, it sounds fantastic. There's lots of different ways to invest in real estate. But for an investor that may not, you know the limitations, what are you seeing are some of the restrictions and pitfalls that people fall into?
Well, I think the answer there is pretty clear. You know, a self-directed IRA is used most efficiently when you invest in something that you know best. And so to the extent that people go away from what they know and understand, they have the potential to make errors and make bad investment strategies. Also, there are restrictions on what you can and cannot do as far as dealing with certain types of what we call disqualified persons. And there's some violations of those rules that lead to disaster as well. But basically, it's invest in what you know best is the best way to use them, and learn the ropes, learn the rules. Quest IRA does provide a lot of free education. Although we don't give tax, legal, or investment advice, we do provide a lot of education on the rules. So people do have to, you know, avail themselves of the education. Basically, as I put it, the best and most wonderful thing about self-directed IRAs is they're self-directed, which means you get to pick the investments that you know and understand. The worst thing about a self-directed IRA is it's self-directed, which means you have to pick the investments, and if you make bad choices, it's 100% your fault. So it's a double-edged sword, and it's a wonderful tool if you know what you're doing, though.
Absolutely. So Quincy, let's maybe talk a little bit about your experience as an investor, you know, how long you've been with Quest, and you know, some of the investments that you've been making yourself.
Okay, sure. I mean, I've been with Quest since the beginning, since I founded the company in late 2002. So I've been at this for quite a while. And as far as what I do in, as an investor, I've done a lot of the different things personally. I started out with something that you mentioned earlier. I started out as a hard money lender. So I did that for quite a while and made some successful investments. I've done direct investments in real estate, and as well as indirect investments in real estate. I'm into notes quite a bit. I like to buy discounted notes. That's kind of a lot of fun, and been some creativity there. I've done a few options and trusts, and as a matter of fact, I'm getting one of my trusts paid off today, so that'll be good. But I've also done, and lately I've kind of moved away from the more intensive stuff and into the more passive things. As I get older, I'm 53. So as I get older, I want to move into more passive things, which I think is what all investors should start thinking about, is do they want to be active landlords and whatnot as they get older, or do they want to have more passive or change their investment strategy into more passive ways of doing it? So lately, I've been doing a lot more with, you know, commercial ventures of various types where I don't have to do any work and somebody else does the work and we split the profits. That's kind of my favorite thing to do right now.
Well, I imagine, too, being in your position, you see a lot of investors that come your way with deals, and you're probably very well networked at this point and can find your way into some of those good deals as well.
I am that. That's true. I always said when I started Quest, I realized immediately that it would make me very wealthy, even if I never saw a dime from it.
Just the relationships, that's right.
The relationships and whatnot is what it gives me. But, you know, you can have opportunity, but unless you take advantage of it, it's not worth anything, right?
Sure, absolutely. So how many clients does Quest have right now? What are you guys up to?
I would say we were roughly at 8,500 accounts. It's somewhere in that vicinity. We open about 300 accounts a month, so it's hard to keep up with the actual figure.
Wow.
But around 8,500 or so.
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, you're coming in contact with all sorts of investment opportunities and investors and whatnot. So that, I'm sure that's created lots of opportunity for you to invest.
Right.
So in terms of your investments over the last, 10, 15, 20 years, a little bit of everything, it sounds like.
I've done quite a bit, yes. Some more successfully than others, as you can imagine. Just anybody that tells you they never made a mistake is either lying or they just never made an investment at all. But, you know, I've done some very interesting things, including private stock. I own part of a bank in my retirement plan. That's kind of an interesting one that'll make a lot of money someday. But done a lot with real estate. Most of it's real estate related just because that's what I know and understand. And so I'm speaking from experience when I say that.
Sure.
You, you know, invest in what you know best.
Absolutely. Well, what sort of leads us to our next topic, which is the title of the show, Your Best Deal Ever. I mean, for you, having done so many different things, it might be tricky to draw on the one deal that kind of stands out. But is there a deal in particular for you that stands out as one that's maybe more special than the others in some way?
Well, you know, I think there's two that I can bring up briefly that might be entertaining. One is a real short story. I invested in a limited partnership that bought land at the intersection of two freeways north of Dallas. You know, it doesn't sound like a very exciting and sexy investment, but it had a little house on it that helped offset the taxes and insurance on the property. And my partners in the deal, I did nothing but review it, but my partners in the deal were experienced at taking commercial property in the path of development and getting the use changed, the zoning changed and whatnot. And they were successful in doing that. We held the property for about 3 years and 9 months and had roughly $600,000 into it cash, no debt.
Mm-hmm.
And sold it for $2.246 million. Now, why do you say that's not an exciting deal? I recognize that. But the thing is that maybe what's important for me to convey to your listeners is that the deal required a grand total of about 5 hours of my effort. And I made $130,000 on a $75,000 investment. So, you know, there's money and then there's time. And the real true value of an investment is how much time you had to put in for the return on the investment.
Absolutely.
If that makes some sense to you.
Absolutely. Yes.
The other one that I wanted to bring up real shortly is actually appears to be a negative story. And I bring this up because sometimes you make lemonade out of lemons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I made a hard money loan several years ago at 12%. I collected a couple of points, and the collateral was good. And I won't go into the gory details, but the collateral was good. And they paid for like 5 years, 12% interest. And I was just, it was mailbox money. I mean, the checks would show up. I never had to call them, never had to worry about it. They were Australians that basically knew how to operate a dog kennel. So they built a dog kennel on the property. It was just raw land when I bought the property, not when I bought the property, when I, invested in the hard money loan. Anyway, about 5 years later, I get a phone call from a guy, and he says, "Hey, is that loan really still in place? I mean, are they really still paying that?" And I said, "Yeah, sure." He says, "Well, I've got a $500,000 judgment against these people, and I'm going to foreclose on the property." So you'd think that would be a bad thing, right? But the long and the short of it is they had built up a dog kennel, set up a tenant operator for the dog kennel, and the bottom line is after a lot of wrangling, I foreclosed on the property, took over the property, had a $200,000 in the property, rented it from, so I was getting $2,000 a month or 1% a month, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And the tenant was paying $3,500, so I took over the property and got $3,500 instead of $2,000 net of taxes. I was netting about $3,000 a month, and rented it for a couple of years, and the tenant wanted to buy it, so I sold it to him for $350,000 with seller financing at a yield to me of 16.6%, which I think is not a bad story. It's a bad story because I had to foreclose, but it's a good story because I did the lending right, and therefore foreclosure was a positive thing and not a negative thing, if
Absolutely.
That makes some sense to
Absolutely.
You.
It's funny because when I sit down with our private lenders and they're trying to scratch their head and figure out the risk, you know, the first thing I tell them is, look, you're in first lien position on and secured by this property that you can go and look at and touch and feel and smell. And if I get hit
exactly.
by a bus or something happens to me, then guess what? You get this property that I bought at a tremendous discount, and you get all the upside instead of me. I mean, I'd say that's a pretty...
Which I did.
Which in your case is exactly what you did. You got all that upside from the rent standpoint and from the sales standpoint. And so was that something
was
you did... Was that through your self-directed account?
No, that actually wasn't in my self-directed IRA. I mean, it could have been. It would have been a typical deal that I would have done, but it just happened to be with personal money. But the message is the same whether it was personal money
sure.
or IRA money.
Yeah.
Of course, I would rather have had it be IRA money, but that's just the way it goes. You know, I have to make investments with my own personal money as well as my retirement plan.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one other question, just out of curiosity, because I think our listeners, you know, they're curiosity has piqued, and especially you having a lot of experience, is there any one strategy or few strategies that you're seeing some of your investors use right now with their self-directed accounts to just pump a lot of money into their IRA? Because, of course, that's the goal. You want to get as much money in your IRA, you know, as you can, all tax deferred. What are you seeing as maybe one or two strategies that are really working for some of your clients?
Well, I think, you know, right now with the real estate market the way it is, you know, some investors will do either own the buy the property and fix it up and eventually sell it, or will participate in what I call equity participation loans, where they'll loan the money to another sweat equity partner, and the sweat equity partner will be the owner of the property and will do all the necessary work to the property and then sell it, and they split the proceeds, if you see what I'm saying.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Well, the whole concept of a self-directed IRA is it's supposed to be kind of a hands-off. You're not supposed to work for free for your IRA. You're supposed to make great investments. So I like to make sure that people keep it structured as an investment, and by doing some shared appreciation equity type loans is one strategy I've seen. Another strategy that I've seen that's, I think, horribly underutilized in the real estate investing field is options. And I don't know if you've done much with those, but we have some interesting training on options and how to buy an option for long-term or short-term. And then you can, just like if you have an option, you can obviously either exercise it, let it go, or sell it to a third party, or maybe even sell it back to the owner of the property. So options is underutilized, but it's one of the methods that I see that people use to pump up their IRA.
Yeah. You know, I haven't done it personally, but I do know of people who have exercised options, or they bought them, like you said, and held them for a certain amount of time and then sold them for really nice, hefty markups, you know, back to the original owner or back or to somebody else. And yeah, it sounds like a way to pump a lot of money into your self-directed accounts. Well, and the same with the equity participation. I mean, it's funny because I had somebody just approach me here in the last week who's looking for a loan, and we've never asked for equity participation, but this is something he was offering to us. And I said, heck yeah, I'll do that one through my IRA and get a heck of a lot more than just 12% and a few points. That's a great one. It's another great strategy.
Sounds like you're my kind of guy, Ken.
Well, tell us a little bit about Quest, where people can find you, maybe the advantages of working with Quest over and above maybe some of the other self-directed custodians that are out there.
Well, I mean, what I'd like to say is it's all about the people, right?
Sure.
We're still relatively small. I know 8,000 accounts and $750 million worth of assets doesn't sound small, but it's still a small environment where you can actually talk to people. You can get me on the phone or my brother Nathan, the CEO. And so we have staff that we train constantly. We're forever pestering them with learning how to what we say to investors so they'll understand what the investors are going through. So our staff is pretty well trained and focused on customer service. But ultimately, it is the people that you deal with is the most important thing. As far as how they can get a hold of us and our education, obviously we have a website, which is www.questira.com, and that's QUESTIRA.com. Also, if you want to ask me personally questions, I have a blog. So you can go to www.irawebadvisor.com and see my blog posts, and there's a section where you can submit a question if you have a question about self-directed IRAs, and I review those and answer them, and if it's something interesting, I'll sanitize it and put it back up on the web. So there's just tons of questions asked by real people about self-directed IRAs that you can get from that environment. And of course, QuestIRA.com also has much education material on there as well.
When I was just checking out the website, there is a great FAQ section that covers a lot of different topics. So yeah, for anybody interested in looking at doing a self-directed IRA, by all means, check out, again, it's questira.com. I didn't know about the blog, but that sounds great too. Irawebadvisor.com. We'll put both of those websites up on our show notes. And Quincy, man, thanks so much for being on the show. This is super insightful.
All right, thank you for having me, and let me know if you need anything else. We got many, many topics we could cover.
I know, yeah. That's when I before we set out, I was like, you know what, we could be on this call for an hour if we're not careful, because there's a lot of different aspects to this. But well, I appreciate you kind of hitting the highlights and talking about some of your personal experience as well.
All right, have a great day.
You too. Take care. All right, Deal Farm Podcast listeners, this is Ken Corsini. I am changing up our special offer. I bought like 200 and some t-shirts with Deal Farm logo on it, and I need to get these things out of my house. And so instead of doing the Facebook and the Twitter and all that stuff, all I want you guys to do is go to iTunes and leave me a 5-star rating. That's it. You leave me a 5-star rating on iTunes and just email me through the website with your name, address, and your t-shirt size, and I'm going to send you a t-shirt. Again, the only thing I need you to do is go to iTunes and leave me a 5-star rating. Thanks, and we'll see you on the next episode of The Deal Farm.